that Yaakov Avinu needed to be saved from his brother, from Esav. All the Mefarshim asked the question, what does it mean, Miyad Ochim, Miyad Esav? There's a double Lashon. One says that, save me from brother, the aspect of Esav that relates to Yaakov as a brother. And the second one is, Mitzad, not only my brother, but this person who is Esav, whoever Esav represents. So there, we begin in the Nesiva Shalom. Why does it say it? Because I'm afraid. Maybe it's going to come and things are going to happen. All kinds of violence. So there it says, Tzorech Bir. Kemoisha Amdu Al Seb Mefarshim Inyan, that the Mefarshim all ask the question, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. Why is there a double Lashon? First it says, Miyad Ochi, from my brother, Miyad Esav. Shoyadai Ba'omroi, Miyad Ochi. It would have been good enough if he would have just said from my brother or from Esav, or if you want to make both, daf, you want to include some Yad Achi Esav. So it's from my brother, from Esav. The Inyan is explained from the Nesivis al Derech Avoida, the way of Avoida. He makes see Vayor Yaakov Ba'oid, that Yaakov was very scared. Vayitzalo Vayachat says, So Omashe Ito Lishne Machanois. And that Yaakov Avinu divided up the people that were with him into two machanois, into two camps. Vayomer im yavoy Esav al machane ha'achas, if Esav will come to one place, so we call, and he'll get them. So v'hoy ha'machane ha'nishol ha'leito, the other machane, the other camp, will be the remnant. So we see it's interesting that Yaakov Avinu wanted to divide up. Pizar is good. During the Second World War, it's very interesting that they had a shaila. What should it be done? Should all the Yidden stay together in one group, or should they spread out? There was another shaila that's written in the Svarim that they wanted to know what to do with the Sivrei Torah. They were afraid that the Sivrei Torah were going to be confiscated. So there was a split in the Kehillah. Some held, you take the Sifrei Torah and you leave them, you bury them somewhere deep in the ground, you leave them all together. Others held, let them go all over, send them different places, send them, scatter them around, and there'll be a better chance. The ones that were against scattering it around said, how can you scatter them around? They'll never be joined together, we'll never know, no one will keep track. Most places, Pisa. Most places they were able to spread everything around, and most of the Sifrei Torah were saved. Unfortunately, some of the places where they gathered them all in one place, some of those places were taken. Now the question will be, is it the Pizar that helped, in other words, it's spreading it around, or by spreading it around, do we just increase the odds that they're not going to be found? So it's a question, what does it mean? Pizar is supposed to be good. So therefore Yaakov Avinu said that we will spread around, we'll have two different camps, and therefore there'll always going to be a Sheres Sapleta, there'll be a remnant. Hine Godol Moira v'Iker Pachado Shel Yaakov Avinu, Hayamachmas Koichos HaSitra Achra. That what was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? He was v'Iker afraid of the Koich of the Sitra Achra, the other side, the unholy side of things. Shabo Kenegdo because Godol V'Yosu, because that other side was coming against Yaakov with a great Koyach. We know that who is ever greater has a bigger Yetzirah. Who's ever greater of a tzaddik, so that Hashem has to make that the koichas atuma that fight against a tzaddik have to be greater. So therefore, since Yaakov Avinu was the Becher HaAvos, he was the choices of the Avos because he represented Torah, and Torah, like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, is more powerful than anything in the world, even though Avram Avinu, midas ha-chesed, what's bigger than chesed? Yitzchak, avoida, davening, tefillah. So Rabbi Chanan says that why Dafka did the Sarah Shalesov start up with Yaakov? Why did the Sultan come in and give such a fight to Yaakov? So he says an interesting answer. He says when the Sultan saw that Avram Avinu wanted to daven, he said, daven, go ahead, daven as much as you want. When the Sultan saw Yitzchak, and Yitzchak wanted to do chesed like Avram, or either interchange, so he said to Yitzchak, you know what, daven, do chesed, do whatever you want. However, when Yaakov Avinu came to stand for Torah, then already the Sultan was afraid. The Sultan could be annihilated through Torah. Barasi Yetzatayra, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. That the Torah was going to be the antidote to the Yetzahara. So therefore, the Sultan saw that his existence was threatened through Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov stood for Torah. He was the Becher HaAvos. So therefore, that's why the Torah came and explains to us that the Satan came doubly strong against Yaakov Avinu. That he brought 400 people with him. Vayno shekol, that every single part of Tuma came to be machnia the kedusha. All of the numbers, all of the things that we see, who Esav brought, was all to try to subdue the power of kedusha of Yaakov. Olachein, vayir Yaakov ma'oid. That's why it says that Yaakov was very scared. He wasn't scared physically what was going to happen. He was scared that the koyach of Tuma that was going to be brought into the world was going to be too much, and chas v'sholom, it may overwhelm him. That's the reason he was scared. Not on a pushut level that he was scared. Yaakov Avinu didn't care. He wasn't scared. What did he care what was going to happen? Vayivosa Yaakov levadoi. Right, that Yaakov remained by himself. He wasn't even afraid. Most people, they'd see some sakana, they wouldn't go anywhere by themselves. What does he go back for? Pachim ketanim. So there we have to see that Yaakov Avinu was not the person who was a pachton. He wasn't afraid, but he was afraid that the koyach of tumah would be too great. There were examples of this that happened in different times, that different tzaddikim were afraid to go into certain places because of the koyach of tumah that was in that particular place. The koyach atuma has a power. Now, how is it explained? The Mishnah Melio says that when you go to, say for instance, you go Bikur Cholim to the hospital, right? So you go, I once went to Mount Sinai Hospital, so they had a wing that was highly contagious diseases. Nobody could go in that wing. There were signs up, the door had a special pass key and everything. Only a Meshuggah would wander into that place. Now, even though the person may not have a second grade education, they may not understand what is contagious diseases, what does it mean to be transmitted, what is airways, they don't understand anything. However, if they're told that if you go into that airspace, or you touch this person, or you get near their clothing, or whatever it is, chas v'shalom, you can get sick, they understand. Do they understand the inner workings of germ transmission? Do they understand what's going on in the air and why this is contagious and how they don't understand any of that, but they got to believe it. So, says the Mishnah Melio, that when a person comes into a contaminated place, where there are aveiros, where there's ra, so just by going near that, the person themselves doesn't realize it, but they can be mushba. They can be influenced just because of the ra that is in that place. So that's why a person should keep far away from something that may contain ra. And there are places that have more ra, there are places that have more vicious, that an individual should try to stay away from, because they could be contaminated, even though they'll never understand it. So what? So there's a place over here that's a place of tumah. So I walk in for a second, I walk in, so it's going to matter. I walked in and I walked out. Person can never tell. There is something that we don't understand that is a tumah that can be communicated. There are various halachas that we have of tumah and tara, all different things, mago, masa, and all different ideas, ol, all things. It's an interesting thing. There was a machloikas, you know, they put a, you ever go to Kibreit Tzaddikim, so they make an ol over the kever. And it's like a room that you go into. So I saw a very interesting discussion that argues against making a room. Because when you make an oil over the kever, it increases the tumor that's able to come into the airspace. In other words, it's there. A person, it says, should not daven in there. You know, like, yeah, people go in and they daven all the time. And therefore, it's a big question. It's a very big question, because they're davening in oil where there's tumor. He says, better not to have an oil. How do they do it by the tzaddikim? So what they hold is by the tzaddikim, that tzaddikim are not mitabe. There's those that hold the tzaddikim, there's no tumah there. So it doesn't matter. Now, it's a question. It's a question of kohen that wants to go to visit a tzaddik, what they should do, what they could do. But be that as it may, that there is something that we can't understand, even though we can't see it. Yes. Yes. Oh, so you have to say that we're going to learn that it's not, that the tzaddik is not, does not produce any tumah. But the idea is that there is definitely something that a person can get because there are koichas of tumah that come in the world. There are koichas of tumah, there are koichas of ra that come to try to offset various things, and it can happen. Interesting, you plan a simcha. All of a sudden you're right ready to make the simcha, something goes on. Some little machloikas happens, something happens, and the whole family is up in arms. Why? because there's a gewaltige koyach for kedusha nesimcha. That's why somebody says, if you invite your uncle, I'm not going to come, and then there's only... Why? Because the koyaches of tuma, al pi kabbalah, are very upset. They know that by the simcha, there's going to be some great kedusha that's going to come out. So therefore, they try to offset the simcha and make things, mess it up possibly, try to mar the simcha, chas v'sholom, in order that the koyach of kedusha should not be as great. So therefore, that's why it says, v'inyin, v'yichat seso om l'shnei machanois, hein keneged beiz b'chines b'avodas Hashem. The two machanois, the two separate camps, are keneged the two different derochim in avodas Hashem, or the different levels in avodas Hashem. Yesh machnas shel oivdei Hashem shem kulul Hashem. There are those that are oivdei Hashem that are kulul Hashem. They're all for Hashem. What do they do? Hamisnarin kliel mikol inyonim agashmim va'oiskim rak b'torah v'avoda. That they don't have anything to do with gashmius whatsoever. They're just involved in Torah and avoda. That's all they want to do the whole day and the whole night. They have no shaykhus to money. They have no shaykhus to anything. They just want to sit and learn. Avigdor Miller, zecher tzaddik livracha, was such a person. Had nothing to do with the gashmius world. The Rebbetzin, zol gezuntzayin, was made on him that he never once went over to the refrigerator. Never went over the refrigerator. Whatever he was served for the meal, he ate. Whatever he was served for the next meal he ate, in between meals later, never walked the refrigerator. Can you imagine a person never could go to the refrigerator 50 times a day? And Rav Avigdor Miller never opened. That's a person that is his pashtus from Gashmis. That's nothing to do with the oil of a Gashmi. It's a dream. I mean, how many people are on that level? There's other things about him also I knew personally that he just didn't have a shaykhus to the world of Gashmis. Okay, so therefore that's what it means to be completely different. That's like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, Shomu Chazal, like it says in Brachos, Alzeh Harbo Asuk Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Lo also be Yodom, Mishum She Yetzar Miskaver, Bimiyuchar Etzal Anoshim Gedoyim Lomata Machshava Supniyas, She Etzlom Ke Kardom Lach Korbo. That what happens, the Yetzar will try to come to a person in various ways. The stronger a person is, the stronger the Yetzar comes in. What will the Yetzar do to somebody that knows Torah? They'll say, you know what, you know Torah, so use it as a shovel, like it says in Ovis, to dig. In other words, gain from your Torah. Use it in a way that is incorrect. And there are various ways that a person could use their Torah in a way that's incorrect. So therefore we see that the Yetzer tries to come to a person, the bigger they are, the more that he tries to infiltrate, to become involved. Bilam machana sheni. However, what about the second machane? Ha'ochim b'derech yoisa pshuta. They go in a simpler way. What do they do? Sha'oiskim gam b'nyanel wazeh. They learn, they do mitzvahs, but they also do a little business on the side. They're also involved in an occupation. Va'oidim l'Hashem Yisroch v'beis advarim. They serve Hashem, heim v'toireh, heim v'avoideh, and in Torah, in davening, in chesed, and all the other mitzvahs, and also in inyanei olam hazeh, like it says in the Heilige Magid, the Mezritcher Magid, Mola ha'aretz kinyonecha. What does it mean? Mola ha'aretz kinyonecha. The earth is filled with your possessions, kinyonecha. Ha'artzios malea b'kinyonim she'asher l'knoischa v'hem. That the world is filled with ways that we are able to grab onto Hashem. Different kinyanim. A person uses a telephone. So a telephone, it could be a weapon of mass destruction. With one telephone call, who knows what a person can do? On the other hand, the telephone's gevaltig. You can pick it up, you can be mechazik another yid. You can pick up the telephone, you can be menachem somebody. You could cheer them up. You can pick up the telephone, you could hear a shir, a dvar chizik. So therefore, the world is filled with these kinyanim, these ways of acquiring avodas Hashem. She'efelin yosef. She'v'chol inyor v'gashim achil v'shtiyah v'chol tzorchi aguf yicholim liknos Hashem yisbrach. In everything that we do, in eating, in drinking, in clothing, all different ways of derech Hashem. In clothing, it's a million different things. The person buys the clothes, so first of all, they buy clothes that are proper. You got 1,000 halachas on it. Chukas ha'akum. Chukasakum, what's a shaila? The person's allowed to buy something that is definitely something that goyim wear. Something that goyim wear that would be unquestionably something that's so modern, so fashionable that a person would say that this has to be something that is reserved for the goyim. It's interesting, Maram Shik talked about the doctors started to wear, you know, the emblem that that they have, the medical emblem, the staff and the servant. So the doctors started to wear that emblem on their coat. Came to be a big machloikis in the community. There were a couple of Yiddish doctors, and they wanted to wear, they were supposed to wear the emblem. They're afraid, chukas akum. How can you do that? The emblem was made by the akum, and to wear it, you'll identify with it. Big machloikis. The soif maisa, they were able to wear it. So I thought to myself, look how far we came, that what's called chukas akum and not chukas akum. Interesting, Maram Shik came from a place where they started to assimilate. They used the Yonim Gashmiim for improper reasons. And in fact, one of the things that became very prevalent is that they forgot their Yiddish name. They started to adopt all kinds of Goyish names. One time, in fact, it was so bad that one time the Maram Shik was asked by the ruler of the entire community. He was asked, how come it is that our people, the Goyim, they try to name after people that are Jewish? After people that are in their Bible. But you Jewish people, you don't name after your Bible. In fact, we see that you're using some of the names after our people. And he made a whole thing. The Maram Shik went home and he felt terrible. He had a campaign for the rest of his life to get people to use their Jewish names. The Maram Shik was very big. Everyone, a guy's name is Moshe, use the name Moshe. A guy's name is Chaim, use Chaim. And in fact, his name was not Shik. The Maram's last name was not Chick. He adopted that name for the Osius Shem Yehudi Kadosh. Then the Jewish name of a person is holy. That's the reason he adopted it, in order to give I went one time to be called, they asked me to say the Mishabed for the name. So I said to the parent before, sometimes they get a little bit nervous at the Shas and the Kriyas Hashem, so I always ask them before, what's the baby's name? So they say the baby's name is Alexis. So I thought they meant the car. I didn't realize Alexis, with an X or whatever. I don't know how you spell Alexis, but anyway. Where do you get that? Where did it come into our, but we're going to call her Crunchy from her great-grandma. Where do you get it from? It comes in, it's assimilation. So therefore, that's the problem, that all inyonim olam hazeh have to be used. Let's take just clothes for a moment. That's what we started in the beginning of all this. Clothes. Before you get clothes, you have 100 shilas. You want to try on the coat? Maybe it's shotness, maybe it's not. Okay, you can rely on the Prima Godim that says you're allowed to, if you don't know for sure, you're allowed to try it on just for a moment to see that if it is shotness, to see that if it fits or it looks nice or whatever it is, you're allowed to try it on. Then, first has to be careful if it's arba kanfos. You buy a raincoat or a coat, and it's got a slit and it goes very up high in the back. So we're afraid that the dalet kanfos, you have to walk around with tzitzits. I saw a guy came in, I don't know if you remember, on Tisha B'Av. There was a guy came in this and he had tzitzits on. We're not knowing to put tzitzits on like that. We're knowing to round one of the corners. If you ever wear a kapota, so you'll know that one of the corners of the kapota is usually rounded. They'll take the tailor or else it'll come that way, that they'll cut it like that so there will not be dalet kanfos. Millions of halachas dealing with the way that we act, the way that we do things, food and drink and all of these things. Clothing has so many different inyanim, it's unbelievable. So because of that, it covered for begodim that a person should be mavaza beged, if a person can sit on a coat or use a coat for another reason, or for instance, a common thing, shirt. If you wear glasses, if you don't wear glasses, you don't have the shiloh. You wear glasses, right? So sometimes they don't have anything right, nobody's around. Everybody knows the quick way. You just take your shirt and you clean up. It's a bizoyin for the beged. I gotta use the glasses. You have to think of a different etza. The bizoyin for a beged is, as we know, that if a person mavaza the beged won't have the kaya. We'll try to put on a sweater that we were mavaza to warm us up, and we'll be cold. Why? Because the beged will lose its kaya that it has. And that's the way that we have in all inyanim gashmiim. If we are careful with inyanim gashmiim, so from that gashmius, it's an avoid of Hashem. By the time I get the coat, then I have to worry about, okay, the guy sewed it up, now what thread did he use? Did he use regular cotton thread? Did he use And most Yiddish tailors know they're correct. But if you go to somebody out in Bay Ridge, he may have a thread that you may have to wonder what kind of a thread is he using. Then when you wear the coat, is it the right time to wear the coat? Do you banai the coat bedafka on Shabbos? Or do you wear the coat first time during the week? Even if it's not a Shabbos day coat. Do you say a shechianu? Do you say a malvish arumim? All of these things a person has to be in, just to wear one coat, just to wear one thing. Now, what do we see from that? That there's an avoida in the gashmias that can be brought out that is great. There's an avoid in gashmias in food. In anything that we do is a tremendous avoida. So that's the second level. Okay, v'chol tzorchei haguf, any of the needs of the guf. So inyan amachana sheni, that was the second camp. The first camp is kuloi toira v'avoida. The second camp is that it's different. Now, what is it? She'enu misnar mikol inyanim. It's not shaken off. It's not free completely from inyanim gashmiim. Ela mechavnim mechol asois nachasuach l'Hashem Yisparach. But the kavana is in everything in gashmiis that a person wants to make a nachasuach l'Hashem. When they build a beautiful house and they don't spare any expense on it. So they remember that there are a few things that they got to do. A Zeichel HaChorban, they got to make. Zeichel HaChorban, where do they do the Zeichel HaChorban? So they can't tuck it underneath the drape somewhere so they have a little half of a brick that is missing. They have to have a Zeichel HaChorban that you can see. You got to come in and say, I remember Yerushalayim. I remember the Beis HaMikdash every time I'm going to come into the house. So there's a Shaila, where does it have to be? It's interesting. It says it should be near the Pesach of the house. I saw somebody, I don't know if I said it, I saw somebody, they made a beautiful thing. Leave it to Yidin, they can find out how to make money, mamashim zeichel l'chorban. So they made a beautiful thing, zeichel l'chorban. And the guy showed it to me. He wants to hang it up in his house. So I thought to myself, the zeichel needs a zeichel. They're going to put up that zeichel l'chorban. Who's going to remember? Oh, some beautiful picture of Yerushalayim. Oh, it's very nice. And the zeichel l'chorban means that you have to be oivin and gashmias. That the house, to know how the house has to be situated, what the house is, what the halachas are about the windows, about putting it up, in which direction the bed should face, and the halachas of the mezuzahs, and all the different things that a person does. The house need a mica or not? All the different things that a person has to be involved in. So that is the way that we can be kind to Hashem. That's the second. B'alzeh Omar im yavoi Esav el hamachaneh. Has Ho'achas, if Esav will come into the first machaneh, and then he'll go and he'll overwhelm that machaneh, so the second machaneh will be an escape, will be a remnant. Okay, Bei Hayidia. It's written with the Hey Hayidia before machaneh. Hainu, Hamachaneh, Hamoid Yoisi L'Peronios. The machaneh that is more set for Chas V'Sholom Peranias, for punishments to possibly come. Which one is that? Hey, Melo Misaskim, Gam Binyonim Gashmim. Certainly that's the one where they're also involved in Gashmim, because it's very difficult. Even a person starts out Lishma, very much Lishma. Person starts out Lishma, they have a good idea, they want to accomplish something. And they're doing it Lishma, but it's within Gashmim. Later, what happens, it's very easy to take the turn that the Lishma is now not Lishma at all anymore, but they end up doing it for just the money or for whatever else it is. So therefore it's more difficult for a person to be involved in Gashmias and to remain always clear as what they do. Even Kovet. You take something like Kovet, right? Most people, they don't care about Kovet. Most people that achieve a Madrega, what do they care? Kovet is its own dimion, right? It's a big dimyon. Boy, can Kovet do a lot. It's a tremendous dimyon that a person will think to themselves the honor that they're getting. It's a big koyach dimyon. What happens? An individual thinks, I don't need Kovet. Well, I'm completely above Kovet. You know what Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said one time? Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said he was once giving shir, and one of the Bachrim said a chiddush, and they said it in the name of Reb Chaim. Who were they saying it in the name of? Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said, for a moment, I thought maybe they'll think that I was the one that said the Chiddush. And I didn't say anything. I didn't contradict it. So I was thinking to myself, if Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said this, the Godel B'Musar, the one who completely, there's no question, he conquered over every Yetzirah for Kovet, but yet he had that momentary thought inside of his own head for a second, it's very easy to cross over in Gashmias from the Ruchnias reason that we started out. We can cross over right into the Gashmias. Shaila Lalocha, somebody asked me, Shaila Lalocha, there was a problem for Minyan. It's a certain shul had a problem for Minyan. They wanted, there's a problem, there's a very easy way to get a Minyan. Very easy way. Hey, all you do is you say, we'll give for every day you come to Minyan, $2, $5, a better neighborhood, $7, $8, whatever. So the guy that all of a sudden never wanted to come to Minyan at all, he's going to come to Minyan every day. In fact, he's early. He wants to make sure that he gets it. No one else should cut to be part of the Minyan first, so they don't need him. So he's there every day. Now, is it good, they ask me, or is it no good? If it's in a place where there's no other way that they can get it, then they got to do it in that way, because now they have to get a Minyan. To be mevatel a Minyan is a very big, big, big problem. Being mevatel a Minyan is not something simple at all. We are matter many things not to disband a Minyan. Not to disband a Minyan. And a lot of reasons for it, deep tamen. However, what happens if it's possible to get a Minyan in different ways, but it's harder? It's better to do it in that way. Why? Because the child, even though the child now will say, I'll come to Minyan, I don't care, but through paying the child to come, he's now going to associate the money that he gets as some type of schar for his mitzvah. If the child doesn't go to Minyan anyhow, and you can get him to come to Minyan by giving him a little encouragement, that's good. But if not, stum to pay a child to come to the Minyan, there could be a crossover. So therefore... It's by a child that doesn't want to go. By a child that doesn't want to go, we would say you should pay it.
So this guy, normally he doesn't want to go to Minyan, but he's going in for $7.
That's okay. That's all right. But a child that would go anyhow, or would go to a different Minyan, but they would pay him to come to that Minyan, that's a Shiloh. Okay, so what happens if the Yetzer Hara creeps in to the first camp and gets involved? So then, that because the reason is that camp is easier to get into. Since they're dealing with Gashmias already, so it's very easy to play with the mind and say, you're not coming for so, you're not coming for the for this reason, you're really coming for that reason. Kemoy Shahaya, Chayzim Oran Admor, Abishem, the from Reb Zev Mishavrish, the Kshem Sha'al Limud Atayra, Omru Chazal, Oilam Yasuk Batar Shalalishma, Shematar Shalalishma, Bolishma. Because by doing something Shalal Lishma, that they will come eventually to do it Lishma. Kachu Lehepech Minyone Lamaseh. Now, it's very interesting, we say Shemitot Shalal Lishma, Bolishma. When will it be Lishma? When will it come to Lishma? You're paying a guy to do it, and then he's going to do it Lishma. I saw a very interesting reason, Likutei Torah. It says Shemitoich Shalal Lishma. It's not that the guy is 100% doing Lishma. In other words, the only reason he's doing it is for the money. There is a little bit of the Lishma buried in to the Shalal Lishma. Shemitoich Shalal Lishma. It was already set in action in the Shalal Lishma, Baal Lishma, that the Lishma was going to come out. Maybe 80% he was doing it Shalal Lishma, but there was a little Nakuda that was buried in of Lishma that was already there when he was doing it Shalal Lishma. That's how it comes to Lishma. When I was a person that has no Lishma whatsoever, no Lishma whatsoever, that person, when they're done getting paid for it, when they're done getting whatever it is, they're out the door. They're completely gone. I had a mice, I'd rather not say it over, but there was a mice with a certain individual that got a certain schar for doing something. The day that he was told that it wasn't going to continue anymore, he was out like a light. There was no zecher of him left. Why? Because it showed that there was no lishma throughout. Okay, we'll just go a little bit further. So therefore it's the opposite by Oilam Hazeh. Shemitosh lishma, Va lishaloi lishma. That this Lodomer says when a person does something in Oilam Hazeh, it doesn't work that way. That when it comes to lishma, when a person's trying to do it for the right reasons, in Yonin Gashmian, or a person will say, okay, I want to eat a big steak, an extra big steak right now. Why do I want to eat it? Because I want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam Lavor. So, in addition to my regular food, I'm going to take an extra big steak. No, that's not going to come to a lishma. That could come to a shaloi lishma. Sha'oisa kol l'shem shamayim. In the beginning, when he's doing it, he thinks I'm doing everything l'shem shamayim. And then the achar kach nimshach achrei an oisa v'noitel b'shaloi l'shmul an oisa atzmoi. And by the end of it, he's just going to be self-serving. He's going to do it because he has ano and he wants to do it. And the zeo gam, this was the tefillas of Yaakov. He said that Yaakov said hatzileni no miyad achi miyad esav, that his tefillah was that not only for the one, but for also the second, not only for the person that's oisik kulo in ruchnius, but it's also the person that is oisik in gashmius too. Elu she'oisikim minyanim elu hazeh, kiven shem yoisik b'sakona. V'aleihem, it was on those people, his fellow Yaakov, atzileni no miyad achi miyad esav. It was on those people that Yaakov said, save me from both. Shebetchilu b'chinas achi. In the beginning, he's like my brother. She'oisikim b'zeh lishmo k'mo Yaakov. That he was Isaac in different things, that he really did think sincerely like Yaakov. The Achar Kach, who Noifel, and after that he goes into the trap of the Yetzirah, and he goes into the Bechina of Esau. So says the Slonimer, that there were two different Inyonim, and these different Inyonim were different Derochim in Avodas Hashem. There is one more Inyon, like it says in Torah's Avos from the grave of Noach Lechavitcher. Rav Noach Lechavitcher brings down and cites that a person has an ability when they're involved in things that are ruchnias, that they can always understand that what they're doing is ruchnias. A person, for instance, they go to learn. Learning, they can understand that the learning it's on a high level. When a person, why? Because it's the neshama that enjoys the learning. The neshama enjoys very much what it learns over. It has a sipuk from the sipuk ruchani, from the learning, from the davening, from the nigin. These are all enjoyments that the neshama has a lot from. On the other hand, a person eats a good steak, right? So what has enjoyment? Basically, the gashmius is interested. The body, the stomach is interested in that. So we have now, right away, when a person is oisik in inyanim gashmiim, we have a difficulty because what is the real response? What is the real reaction to gashmius? It is that the body wants the gashmius. So there is a danger if I want to serve Hashem through dafka the gashmius, that when am I going to wake up? When I'll wake up is the gashmius side within me, and I'll say, yeah, I'm really eating the steak l'kovod Shabbos. And then I'll realize, I'm really eating the steak because I like steak. That's what a person will come to. That's what it says is the difficulty, why when a person does certain things in the Olam HaGashmi, there's an altogether different feeling that could come about by doing Gashmias. That's why we have to be careful to be honest and know a little bit of Gashmias is good. Too much Gashmias, I want to say, I want to build up a big reserve of Gashmias, it's not good. Because eventually, that Gashmias is going to take a life of its own, it's going to be interesting. Okay, we'll stop for a second. Any questions? Rav Hillel.
Since most of us are also born of Gashmin, most of our day, how do we mechazik ourselves not to fall over the defense of the concerns that we'll put up?
Excellent, Kashadok. The Avram Slobodka asked a question. How do you set up the safeguard so that we don't fall in, right? So it's like Shabbos. It's a big inyan to take a nap on Shabbos. Although the Belzer Rebbe said he doesn't understand why it's not one of the Aseres HaDibros not to go to sleep, that a person should go to sleep on Erev Shabbos so that they can stay up the whole Shabbos. Belzer Rebbe said that. Now, a person goes for a little nap on Shabbos, it's good. What happens if a person stays on Shabbos, they fall asleep for about 10 minutes, and then they wake up by Havdalah, and they realize it's about 5 hours, so now they cross the level. The way to do it, says Alton Slobodka, is to set up Gedorim. I will allow myself to have a certain amount. More than that, I will not allow myself. If I'm going to do something in Gashmias, I'm going to make a level. This is what I'll do. If I'm going to go swimming, I will swim for this amount of time. I won't go for unlimited time. It's like unlimited minutes on the cell. It's a great plan now. You got to plan one of the places, $100, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. You can So that's a gezeira ra that they made such a thing. Used to be you have to worry about the minutes on the telephone. Every second you're talking is every second is chucking up the bill. Now that a person can do anything they want, that's a gezeira ra. What a person has to say is, I make limits. My limit is I'm going to talk this much. My limit is I'm going to do that. By making the limits, they've already confined the gashmius to something that is ruchnius, and therefore they can keep it strong. When a person doesn't make those gedarim, so then the gashmius can grow. Yitei mana roitzim usayim. Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavoysa v'yadav. That person will never be satisfied. But if we make it to a certain limitation, then that will help us that we can actually control the gashmius. Anybody else on that? Yeah, sure.
It says, so Rashi says, "Avoid Bas Yaakov." That was Hashem Yitzah, so she went out. He was Bas Leah. Shabbi Yitzah, so this is Shnei the Peti Leah the Brosim. What Leah did was Hashem Shemaya, and Yisachar came out of that. So, what is it? In a sense, she had this midah and she used this midah to Taiba. So now, in a sense, it's working against Dina that her mother was. What her mother did was. I mean, she made from that came one of the Shvatim. And we're a great shvat because they were the chachmei and they were the chachmei at Tyre. They were great. So why is it the sense taken against Dina that the mother was Yitzhanis? Because the mother was Yitzhanis, so
the point is Pekir Avon Ava is Sabonim Vabnei Bonim Al Shleishim Al Ribeim, that even though what was done was 100%, there was no question came out from that great Paris. However, there is that little thing that exists that was not 100% according to plan. And there, even it turned out okay, everything worked out in the end, but because there was that minor, I don't want to say deviation, but there was something, a minor technicality there in the middle that was not supposed to be, so therefore it will have an effect in the future.
What was the alternative?
That's a question. That's a good question. Exactly what should have been done is Akasha. But, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Oftentimes it's a machloikas. You can do a mitzvah in order to do the mitzvah is not 100%, but you'll get the mitzvah accomplished. Does it affect the mitzvah or not? Yes, it does. It's a question where something has been changed. Number one, there are two things. Does the mitzvah have the koyach? How does the mitzvah develop koyach? Certain mitzvahs can go very far, just like a tefillah. A tefillah can have a koyach, it can zoom up and then pound straight through the doors in Shemayim. Or a tefillah can be not is the same power, it zooms up, but maybe not the same punch. It depends. Did the slight lacking in the performance, however it was, the kim of that mitzvah, did it take away from the koyach, or was it mevatel the mitzvah? That's the question here, that it can be, even though everything turned out great, but still there was that small diktuk that could have been made, in perhaps a different way.